Pickaxe.
If you like to eat stress-free and healthy, like me, you can do it this spring with Factor. They have delicious, ready-to-eat meals, everyone is fresh, never frozen, and chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 different options, including popular ones such as Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or like me, vegan and veggie. There are more than 60 add-ons you can discover every week, such as breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. If you're looking for gourmet options, there are meals that have premium ingredients, such as filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini and asparagus. And they are no fuss, no mess. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking and cleaning up. Simply heat and enjoy the good stuff. You can customize your weekly meals with flexibility to get as much or as little as you need, and you can pause or reschedule deliveries at any time. Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. This month, we're celebrating Earth Day. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So head on over to factormeals.com/pickaxe50 and you can use code PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. That's PICKAXE50 at factormeals.com/PICKAXE50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is going. Check it out.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast. Here we are once again. The summer vacation is over and we're back. All three of us are back.
Hooray.
From our vacation and we're ready to rock and we're ready to roll. We're ready to slip and slide as well and also maybe
shimmy.
Slither a little bit.
Do some shimmy.
Yeah. We can shimmy and slither a little bit too. That'll
shimmy
be fine.
Jimmy.
Yeah. How are you guys? How is everybody doing? Let's have a post vacation update. What did everybody do over the month of August?
Oh crap,
Lewis, go.
So I went to Insomnia, did Gamescom. I made a new YouTube channel.
What's it
bummed
for?
Around in the office. I've organized stuff.
A new YouTube channel in 2018?
I know.
Pray tell,
what was
the thinking behind this?
Just wanted to do it.
What is it about?
It's like a vlog channel.
All
it's
right.
Basically, you know, Yog Tours back when Terps did that.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like the idea was that I need to play a new game every day.
Right.
Right. And to force myself to play different new games, I've made a channel where I report to my audience.
You are going to hate games in no time. There are some terrible games out there.
Can I recommend Super Seducer 2?
Oh my good lord.
So
I saw that clip. I saw the clip of you playing that yesterday. Hey,
it is
what
so
the
bad.
Fuck is that game? What the with the guy masturbating while he's talking on the phone? That was ridiculous.
Honestly, as I understand it, the first one was a lot more serious, I think. Like, people said that a lot of the second one is kind of making fun of some of the stuff in the first one. But I mean, he considers himself a pickup artist. Like, he actually considers himself to be one of those assholes who's, like, picking up women using specific sociopathic approaches
rather than
just talking to people. And
he is an asshole.
Like, he is an unbelievably bad person. Like, every conversation that he has, like, you're not actually talking to a real person. Imagine talking to a machine that has been programmed to attempt to seduce you. That's what he's trying to breed, as a whole sort of sub-race of people for whom conversations with the opposite sex. Because he does it for women as well as men, although not very well, I don't think. He basically tells them how to talk to someone and sow the seed of a relationship. And then when you start to talking about this and why it's smart to talk about that, it's like, just, you know, there's no actual human interaction there.
Right.
People don't think about that when they're having a conversation, is what's my opening gambit? You know what I mean? No, they just go up and talk. If you're an asshole and people don't like you, deal with that rather than thinking, how can I convince people I'm not an asshole using clever ploys? Yeah. And that's basically whole gist of this game.
So he is this weird guy, right? He's from England. He's got this sort of sexy voice.
No, like he doesn't have a sexy voice.
He sounds like David Beckham, but you think he's foreign because of it, right? Because he's got this sort of speech impediment.
That's how he talks. Hey, Sarah.
He speaks like
Sarah,
David
will you come
Beckham.
In here, please? Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
he says he drops letters all the time. Like he says with instead of with. Going, you know, you could go with a girl and, you know, that's nice, correct, that's the right answer. It's this weird, soft kind of voice, but he's a weird guy. His head is incredibly wide. He has a really wide head.
Nice.
He's got a wide head. But sometimes, like, just looking weird, I mean, I don't think he's an unsuccessful man with the ladies, because he's all right looking.
Yeah, no, he's not a bad looking dude.
I'm just picturing Stewie from Family Guy.
He looks a bit like Stewie with a beard.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies.
Yeah. But I completely agree. And it is kind of quite, I don't know, like the whole pickup artistry, it feels very rapey, doesn't it, right?
Yeah.
It's like being disingenuous. It's like kind of being like...
Leading
oh,
up
okay,
to a
I'm
rape,
gonna,
maybe,
I'm
yeah.
going to trick my way into a woman's pants, you know? And, you know,
does,
you're not being yourself.
Does it actually work, though? Because what about, like, chemical stuff, you know? Like what about, like...
Roofies.
You know, like No, not like roofies, but I mean, you know, like when you're attracted to somebody and you have a conversation with somebody, and likewise, if they're attracted to you, isn't there like chemical things at play, like in your brain and stuff too?
Yeah, that I'm sure there are. I mean,
are like
I'm sure his lines work
not easy to game, I guess.
But I think some of these things would work on people. I actually
right.
do believe that. Like,
right.
for instance, there's scenes where he's giving you these directions for how to start an interesting conversation with someone, and it's the most boring shit ever. And I'm thinking, maybe that's what works, because he just says, just talk about travel. I mean, to me, that's an incredibly boring topic. I know we're doing it on the podcast, but it is,
yeah.
It
yeah.
is a very boring topic to just go, have you traveled much? Oh, yeah, I've been here, there. Oh, me too. I've been here, there. Did you see this?
Yeah.
It's like just a list of things out of a fucking
travel
catalog.
It always turns into a pissing contest to see like who's been the most places and who's
exactly.
been the most wild, outlandish places. And
he says, if you haven't traveled much, talk about places you'd like to go. I'm like, why don't you just talk about what superpowers you'd like to have? Is it just
but then if
boring?
You talk about places that you'd like to go with a person who's been to places, you sort of set yourself below them, right? You're
yeah.
like you're inferior to them because they've traveled a lot and they
just
have...
say you've been to the moon. Yeah, I've been to the moon.
I guess this stuff does work because there are pimps in the world too, right? Like they have the ability to control, you know, their women and
I think
and
that's
them...
drugs and violence though, rather than smart.
Yeah, I know, but like there's gotta be some psychological stuff behind all that too, right? To
maybe
keep them roped in. To tricking.
I feel like this is a very very strange like whole sphere of stuff, right? So first of all, like the problem I have a little bit is that you kind of sometimes I guess this stuff does work right on
right.
certain types of people, but it's not sustainable. Okay, like as soon as someone realizes that you've run out of lines that you read out of this book or whatever, they'll be like, oh, you're not that kind of person at all, you know. I suppose what you do when you sort of follow these guides is you set yourself up to be someone you're not, right? Like you go up to someone and maybe that's all it needs though. Maybe it just gives you that confidence to,
but that's the thing,
you know.
The key is confidence. It's nothing to do really with what you say. If you're an approachable person and you can talk, confidence is it. If you just creep up and go, I like you, my lady. Oh, may I purchase you a beverage? It's like the reason that's not working is not because it's not in the book. It's because that's fucking weird.
I didn't realize Gollum
was doing... I know people... Yeah, he is. But people get desperate.
If you're Gollum, though, how would you chat up Galadriel?
Well, you've got your buddy, haven't you? You've got a built-in wingman because Gollum's two people in one. Do you remember?
That's true, yeah. He's
so he can just feed you the lines and
he's
you can just say
he's got multiple personality disorders, so he can...
Yeah.
You just send out like the confident one instead.
Gollum is like
basically Gollum. Gollum is like a more compact version of Ogre Magi.
Ogre Magi,
who's physically two heads fighting, like an internal struggle all the time. But Gollum has it all like condensed into one.
If you think about it, Gollum is,
I think,
like,
we're all Gollum,
that
though,
archetypal,
right?
Nice guy, right? He's like, yeah, he's very helpful. He helps Sam and all those guys out. But behind that nice guy exterior, he goes, "Oh yes, masters, Gollum will help you. Gollum knows the way," and all that shit. He's actually just after one thing: the precious, aka some pussy. That's what he's after.
He's got a weakness, and he's a prime candidate for to be preyed upon by a pimp as well, because of his inadequacies and he's got some weak tendencies, right? Because of his obsession with the pussy.
Yeah.
So he's like,
I think in a way, Gollum represents the forever alone archetype.
Yeah.
And he's endlessly helpful, but in a creepy way.
He is. Yeah, he comes across
Maladriel.
Too desperate. Yeah, people
exactly.
get turned off by that.
Yeah. He thinks, you know, if I help them enough, they'll help me. And I've been a nice guy, so why are you being mean to me? It's like, because you're a creepy half goblin creature skulking in the darkness.
Yeah,
you know, that's the issue here, Gollum. Originally, he wasn't a bad bloke. It was the ring. It was the ring. It's the quest for pussy that has defined Gollum. In Lord of the Rings, they've sanitized it and called it the One Ring, of course.
Gollum needs to go, like, on one of those reality, like, dating makeover shows where they, you know, like, they take a person and they change them around and coach them and give them advice on how to, like, you know, date, which is, I guess, what this guy does, but there's, like, TV shows about it,
isn't
there?
So do, like, a queer eye for the straight guy for Gollum. I'd love to see that.
Yeah, they should do that.
I like your loincloth, Gollum, all right? You're working the loincloth. That's good. But let's build an outfit here. You know, let's think, what do the ladies want to see? Do they want to see your emaciated, wasted frame? And do they want to hear you hissing about the One Ring? Let's put a hat on you. Put a little baseball cap on him. You dress him up like those scum bros. You hear about those guys?
No.
Yeah.
So scum bro is like the new fashion thing. There's a comedian called Pete Davidson. Apparently Jonah Hill is big into it. Justin fucking Bieber, of course. And they basically dress like a pimp, like a crazy pimp. And like Justin Bieber's new thing is just to wear skinny jeans and a massive fur coat. I mean, in the 70s, that was just a pimp look. Now they call it scum bro. And you dye your hair crazy colors. That's pretty much it.
Like a YouTuber.
That was like pretty common fare for Led Zeppelin back in the day, wasn't
it?
Like really tight ass jeans and a big fucking fur
coat. Exactly, yeah. What else did you do in August then, Lulu?
Wait, how did we get on the topic of Super Seducer?
Because we're talking about games for Lulu to play.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
What else did you do? Obviously, not very much. Obviously, P-Flex. Enjoyed the sunshine. Well, no, I think we should just carry on talking about this. Like,
no, the summer was interesting.
Super Seducer.
Summer was interesting.
Totally nuts, man.
Like, I don't want to go too deep into
Nothing's going to compare to Gollum's dating makeover now. Anything that we talk
also,
about, nothing's
going to compare to what you flipping did. You were away for 6 weeks, like, actually doing stuff.
I was away.
You know, just... Everyone knows what I'm doing because it's all over the internet. It's easy.
Wow. What shade.
Come on.
That's unbelievable shade.
What are you up? What have
Everyone
you been
knows
up
what
to?
I was doing because it's on the internet. The stuff you did, Pyrion, is a mystery to us all.
It
no
is.
One knows what Pyrion did for two fucking weeks in Vancouver. No one was there in the theatre.
I watched The Late Show. It was excellent. Really
but wait,
good.
You did. You went on a trip before you went to TI too, didn't you?
I did,
you had
a
cruise.
I went to Florida for a week, which was cool. It was just standard Florida stuff at my dad's house, swimming in the pool, enjoying the weather, going to the beach, eating American food. It was relaxing, you know.
Yeah.
And then we went on this cruise, and it was on this ship called the Oasis of the Seas.
Right.
This fucking thing is like 6,000 passengers and like 3,000 crew. Where they put the crew, I don't know. They all must live in the hold like a fucking slave ship, to be quite honest with you. Because, I mean, the whole place is just staterooms. So it is literally like they took a massive apartment building, turned it on its side, and made it float on the water. And it's got an ice rink, it's got a mall, it's got multiple pools. There's like basketball courts. It's insane. There's like a mini golf course. There's like there's just everything. There's multiple theaters. There's tons of bars and such.
Where does
big
that one leave from?
It goes from all over. I took it out of Orlando and we went around the
Orlando,
Caribbean.
Orlando, right? Okay. So when the whole world floods, I need to make sure I'm in
go
Orlando.
Go to Orlando. Yeah, get on one of those ships
and then I can hop on that bad boy and
was,
I'll have everything I need.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was just. It's so
It'll
big.
Be like a zombie survival horror movie on that fucking ship at the end of the world. It'll be amazing.
It would.
They should. That's one thing that they never touch on with zombie survival horror. Like, what about people who are on like oil rigs or like have escaped on boats and
yeah,
stuff? That'd be an interesting story.
People in America driving on
it's
a highway.
Just two old guys playing Scrabble after like 50 years surviving on an oil rig, eating like tins of beans and sausages.
It'd be like the movie. Was it Dawn of the Dead? The one where they're in the shopping mall and they survive in the shopping mall and they have fun for a little bit. I think it'd be like that on a cruise ship. Everybody'd be like, oh shit, you know, we did it. We trumped the whole zombie apocalypse. We're on this cruise ship, and then they start running out of food and eating each other, and there's dramas and stuff. And that would be interesting.
I mean, I guess what you'd have to do, I mean, you wouldn't even need to park that far off the shore, honestly.
No, because the zombies aren't going to swim out, are they?
You say that. However, there is a zombie movie. I think it's called Zombie Holocaust, Zombie Apocalypse Holocaust, something like that. It was banned. It's a real classic 70s shit movie. It's something along those lines. I used to when I was a younger man, I used to buy all these fucking old VHS tapes and stuff in charity shops, and you could always find some good shitty horror. This was all pre-YouTube and stuff like that. And there is a scene. These are pure exploitation, these movies. You would not get them made nowadays. And basically, these zombies are underwater, and there's a fight between a zombie and a shark, right? So the shark is going for the zombie. The zombie's fighting the shark. But the zombie's walking along the bottom of the ocean. Now, he's not going to get to the ship because the ship is floating, right? The zombie's not going to float up. However, and I was thinking, I've thought about this, Sips. I had a long time on that cruise to think about things like this.
Right.
And my first thought was, of course, is this a decent place to hole up in the event of the zombie apocalypse? Problem number one, let's say the zombies walk into the water. They just keep walking. They don't need air. We know this. Zombies don't need air.
Yeah,
just
they're
walk out. They're dead, right? What do dead things do? They fill with gas as they begin to decay. And we know that zombies decay because you see zombies in worse and worse states of decay shambling around. The freshly dead ones, right?
The bloaty ones and stuff.
So the bloaty one, like a boomer in Left 4 Dead 2, floats to the surface. Suddenly you've got zombies on the surface around the ship.
They use them as like a raft?
No,
so there's a whole bunch of zombies holding
onto
them.
I'm just thinking eventually one will find his way onto the ship.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's inevitable, right?
It's inevitable.
Somehow, some way, one of them is going to get on and bite someone.
One of them's going to get on. Second, you're going to need to make short excursions for simple shit. Toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
Porno, magazines, cigarettes.
Boots. You're going to need some sort of like airlock decontamination staging area for when people come back from
these
expeditions.
But you're not
going to
send one person. What's the number one cause of zombie infestation? Don't say zombies. We already know that. Number one cause post-zombie.
One person being careless and getting bitten.
And then part two of this.
And then everyone else tending to that person who has been bitten because they think that they have a chance of surviving. And then they turn and they bite them.
Let's say we go beyond. We know that if you get bitten, you turn. What always fucking happens. Someone gets bitten, they conceal it. Right? They hide it.
Yeah, that's right. And
that's
then they turn.
One. Number two.
They turn at a very, very
opportune
awkward moment. Yeah.
Just when the doctor's reaching over to adjust their catheter.
Yeah.
And so the doctor's like, shit.
So the doctor gets turned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you've got an outbreak on your hands.
Yes.
And the other failing is someone's wife gets bitten and they hide it, right? And suddenly you've got two zombies on the ship because the wife bites her husband one night. And then all of a sudden you've got two zombies. Those zombies, you know, there's an outbreak on deck four. There's no way to stop it. That's it. The ship is done. Now you have to abandon the ship. So you'd want a very small crew of trustworthy people, and you would have to have full strip search inspections every time you get back on the ship. Like you said, airlock, strip and rotate.
Like
you want to see any
12
bite marks.
Monkeys style with the power hose and everything. You'd have to be washed down. You'd have to be inspected and stuff. You'd have to be really strict about it.
You would have to be. Like when Ripley didn't want to let them back on the ship in Alien because it had an alien organism. Ripley was right. She said, we can't let him on. He's got a fucking alien on his face. What are you thinking? And Ash, the android, overrode it. And that's what would happen. Human beings is the one lesson we've learned from all these zombie movies are the reason that we will fail.
Yeah, that's it. Because they always think, like, instead of just, you know, you see someone's bitten, you take them out, right? You shoot them in the head and throw them overboard. But everybody's always like, oh, he might be okay. This might be the one unique snowflake that is immune to being bitten by a zombie. So let's just keep him. We'll give him like a cold flannel and make sure that his temperature's down and stuff, and he's going to be fine. And that's always the guy who ends up turning on the one who's sympathetic towards them, and then the outbreak starts there.
So that
that's
was my
classic.
Concern. And the ship is too big to lock down. Like, there's no way that you could lock it down. It's so vast.
You can hold out in a corner of the ship, right? Like, you could
You could, but then how is that any different from holding out anywhere on land? There's no car you can get in to fuck off. So in that regard, I'm thinking that bigger ship might not be that great an idea. Also draws a lot of attention. You can see it on the fucking horizon. It's so big. It's like, it's literally... Yeah. We would see ships sailing away from us, and you could see them for a very long time. Of course, because the Earth is flat. So
if you wanted to play with the horn as well, I guess you would attract a lot of attention.
You know, they didn't do that. Never once did the hoot hoot. I was waiting for that. Every time we pull into port, nothing.
Wow.
Not a peep. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, that does sound disappointing.
Nothing. Not even when we first got on and first left port, nothing. Like, to them, it's no big deal. Because when we arrive, we check out. As we're getting off the ship, they're cleaning our rooms for the next bunch of people. It's just a conveyor belt. There's nothing special about your trip on the cruise. You're just another fucking wallet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything costs money. Like, there's not even water in the rooms. You can't drink the water in the rooms. You have to go out to the shop to get water, which was the first thing that surprised me, is that we had to buy bottles of water. Now, what you could do is refill your bottle, but you weren't allowed to refill the bottles that you'd bought in the shop. You had to bring your own water bottle that was specifically small enough to fit under the tap, or they would shout at you. I was like, after day two, I was like, fuck this. I'm just going to go do it in the morning.
That's crazy. When everyone's watching.
It was, everything cost money, literally everything. It was kind of...
I thought that cruises were all inclusive, though. Like,
everybody thinks that.
Is it like Ryanair?
It feels like that. At every turn, it costs a little bit of money for this, a little bit of money for that. This costs extra, that costs extra. And there are some things that are included, but look, one of the things you can do is get the drinks
Such
package.
A dad complaint.
I know. What do you mean I've got to pay for the toast? This is ludicrous. Like, you do get food. Like, you can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner for free. But the quality of food is pretty bad. Like, it wasn't good food. So the inclusive food is not very good. So if you want a decent meal, you have to pay for it, and it costs a lot. The drinks are very expensive.
And what are the options like? Is it like...
whatever you want.
Okay, so it's not just like... McDonald's food.
No. It's everything.
Packaged up to look differently or something.
No. Like, they have a very wide range of food on the ship. But it's just. Right.
Is there like a high street?
Yeah, there is. There is literally a high street.
Is it like Titanic? Have you seen the movie Titanic?
I have.
Do they have like a chandelier ballroom?
They do.
Where they all dress up in their Sunday best.
I think every ship has that now.
They do.
I think every ship has like a fancy dining room and stuff.
They have like five. So you're assigned to a dining room. So whatever deck you're in means that this is your dining room. So for dinner, you go here, you make a booking for a time, and you go, and it's like a full restaurant
meal.
What
was your deck?
We were on deck 9.
Right.
Okay.
Was that a good deck, or was that like a pretty bad deck?
It's a decent deck. Yeah, it was a good deck. It was fine.
Like a mid-tier deck, or like an upper-class deck?
It was decent. We had sea views, so we had a balcony. So you could sit there and watch the sea going by.
Did you get to sit out on it?
Yeah, no. You can open. It's like a little veranda. You know, you go out and you sit on there. There's a table. You have your breakfast out there and everything. You can watch the ocean.
What do you mean breakfast? So what do you mean you had your breakfast out there?
You can order breakfast to be delivered to your room.
Right.
So
okay.
How much is that? Oh God, I can't remember. It wasn't cheap, but it was worth it because you didn't have
and
to.
And what
get
would
dressed.
That be like a croissant?
Yeah, you know, continental breakfast, or you could have like a fry up or whatever you want. We were on the cruise for a week. So we were sailing for
and
a
is
week.
It just water out there, just steaming by?
Well, it's the ocean, Lewis, so yeah.
Yeah, so it's just flat ocean.
It didn't stop anywhere? You just went on the ocean and then you came back?
Oh, you see what you're saying, sorry.
Because some cruises stop off at places for day trips.
There's so many
stuff.
Questions.
So it stopped at islands in the Caribbean. So
right.
Day one, you leave port and you're just sailing. You say, you see Florida disappear. You're like, bye, Florida. And then you wake up the next morning and you open your curtains and there's a tropical island right there.
Oh, cool.
Which is quite cool. Right. Like it's gorgeous Caribbean island. And like palm trees and beautiful clear water and everything.
And you go to the cinema and you go to the dining room
do
and eat sheet breakfast. And then you go to the shop and have to buy some water.
But, so you get off. You get off in the port.
Okay.
And there are excursions. So you can take, you know, you pay, obviously, to go to Beach X. So there's a bus for all the people that want to go to Beach X. It takes you there. Or a boat, it drops you off, you spend a few hours there.
Wait, do these buses just come off the ship?
No, but this is the interesting thing. All these islands, their economy is built around these ships. Because if you think about it, when one of these ships comes in, that's 6,000 people probably getting off the ship. That's like doubling the population of some of these places, right?
That's true, yeah.
So you get off, everything is ready for you. There's all people trying to sell you shit. There's all these places for, because there's no...
Is it like Tropico?
It's very like Tropico. Very like Tropico.
But wait, can you just get off the boat and just have like a wander around and go
do your own
thing? Yeah, absolutely.
We did that. We did that. Like, we got off the boat. We arranged
our
transport.
You just have to be back by a certain time.
Yes.
Or the boat leaves without you.
Exactly. So they have a little lanyard with an ID card, and they boop you, boop, like this, off and on the boat. And they have a picture of you so they can check it's you coming off and they can check it's you coming back on. You have to take your passport with you to get back through customs at the port to get back on the ship.
Right.
Because
right.
you're essentially in another country. And then you're just,
yeah,
that's it. So the island is yours. Be back on the ship by 4 or we're fucking leaving without you. So my dad's been on these a bunch of times and he's seen multiple people left behind as the ship is leaving. And he was on one of them with this guy whose wife was left behind. And they just happen to be standing next to him. They're watching. They're like, oh, my God, that lady got left behind. And he says, yeah, she does this every time. Every time. Like, this husband is just, like, shaking his head. So she has to get a plane. You can get, like, a little plane to take you to the next island. And when the ship gets there, you get back on the ship. That's the only option.
That's ridiculous. Well, hang on a second. So this guy gets on the boat without his wife. And
that was my first thought.
Watches his wife as he sails away on the boat without her?
Yeah.
How the fuck does that work? I'd be in so much trouble. I would never live it down. I would honestly, I would never hear the end of it. I would never do it. Where does this guy get the balls to do that?
I'll tell you what, he's an old dude. You know, he's my dad's age, probably in his 70s. At this point, he's like, you know what, if we get divorced, fuck it. You know,
I guess so, yeah. I guess people do kind of get to that point.
I mean, sometimes they just want to do their own thing, though.
Yeah,
you know?
She's like, I'm going to go shopping and you do your thing. I'm sure he didn't literally jump onto the ship and leave her on the dock.
Fuck. So I'm not going back into that zombie-infected wasteland with you, Gollum. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you try all of your seduction techniques, but it doesn't work.
Well, wait,
you know,
this brings me back to the whole infection thing is related to one reason I've never been on a cruise ship before, and that's because you often hear about people getting sick on ships and they have to quarantine the ship and stuff, and that's not me. I don't want to be a guy quarantined on a sick ship. Like, that would be a nightmare for me.
Yes,
I don't want to ever be in that situation.
I was very scared about that. However, and this is one of the things they did, there are hand sanitizer stations everywhere. Now, before you get on the ship, they say to you, do you feel sick at the moment? Do you have any sweating or fever? And of course, everybody goes, no, because you're not going to go, yeah. And they'll say, well, you can't come on board. So that to me is the worst piece of security ever. They should like swab people's forehead or something to test for illness. But you get on the ship and then it's impossible. Like on the way into the dining hall, which is like a buffet dining hall, they sanitize your hands. So they're at least trying to cut down on illness.
Right.
It's particularly the norovirus that spreads during cruise. And because everyone has these communal eating places, and also you're kind of trapped, right, in small cabins, sharing facilities. It is like, it's like a sort of a very, like a school or something where you're very trapped together
very
and you can't stop it.
And also you're doing a lot of activities.
And you can't, there's no accounting for people. Some people are so fucking filthy. They never wash their hands and stuff like that.
But sometimes it's just like poorly paid food workers who have to go to work because otherwise they're not going to be able to, you know, live and they're not very well.
This is interesting. I felt very guilty about the fact that we're living, and it wasn't quite a luxurious cruise. Like it was genuinely a lot. There were a lot of very wealthy people on the ship. And then you have these guys who are basically working very, very long hours. And they'll sign like a contract for like eight or 9 months to be on the cruise ship.
Mm.
So they live on the ship that whole time. No breaks, no holidays. They are on the ship for 9 months working every single day. And I was like, damn, that's rough. And I was talking to one of the bartenders about it. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, this is one of the best jobs you can get. Like half the crew were from the Philippines and they want this job. Like this is the cushy job that they can get. It's safe. It's clean. It pays. They get tips and it's a good life and they're taken care of. Their costs are extremely low the whole time they're away. Yes, they're away from home, but I was thinking, damn, what a rough job. But you've got to think of the people doing these jobs come from poorer countries. This is a fucking great job. Like there is a waiting list of people to get this job. So as bad as it feels, it's extremely good. For those people, they fucking love it. And then they'll take 3 months off, spend time with their family. Some of them will be away and kids are born like they haven't seen their baby. So they leave their wife. She's pregnant. They come back. They've got a 9-month-old baby. So
God, it's like being an international footballer, but without the prestige of being a footballer and the millions as well.
It's like being in the
it's
army.
Exact same.
But yeah, but it's a good job. Like, I didn't think of it that way. Like, if you're living in the Philippines,
I think you're right. It is a little bit like being in the army, because the army's the same. Like, it doesn't pay super well, but you end up, your costs are very low. Yeah. So when you do end up leaving the army, you have this sort of nest egg often of money that you've managed to accumulate because you didn't have to pay rent and,
well, you say that,
for
but
a car and all the other stuff. Do they these days?
They do have to pay, yeah.
Do you think some of these guys get into the mindset where they treat it a bit like the army? It's like the pyramid of needs thing, right? Like, there aren't any, like, major wars right now. Like, there's, like, smaller wars, but there's no major wars, and these guys have probably never really experienced any conflict in their life. So they think that working on a cruise ship is kind of like their war sort of thing, and they become veterans, and they swap war. So, yeah, I was on a tour. We went to the Caribbean. I was on the ship for 9 months.
Some guy puked all over me.
I saw some shit, you know, like they almost think that they're like in the army, but they're not, sort of thing, you know. People sometimes do that, right?
Yeah, I can
imagine. You get that
it.
When you go paintballing with people. People all of a sudden they turn into like Vietnam vets or something. It's like, yeah, okay,
you're
it's,
right.
It's fucking paintball though.
Yeah, like, they come out in full camo and yeah, they like yeah, totally yeah. change their personality. Know, people, you're like, what the fuck is
my
this?
My whole squad got ambushed 6 months ago in Kettering.
We caught some major shit down there by the barn.
Yeah, lost three men straight away to the first burst, hit the deck, just had to go for it, mate. You know what I'm saying? Of course, we were back for the next round. Stung a bit, but oh, hard times.
One of my friends got a paintball on his ear, swole up real nasty.
I go
like
back home and people just don't understand. You know, it's terrible.
Oh, fuck. So would you go on a cruise again? Would you do that cruise again?
No.
Oh, you know what cruise I've always wanted to do?
You wouldn't go again?
No.
Not even when you're an old man and you want to leave your wife on a fucking island.
Yeah, you could have done that.
What would you do, Sips? You would go
I want to go see some fjords.
I always thought glaciers
and fjords would be fucking cool, because there's no other way to see this shit, I don't think.
So
like,
I did take a cruise a couple of years ago on the Hurtigruten, which is a cruise line in Norway.
Sounds like a fucking disease.
It does. But it was lovely. Small ship, very nice.
Don't want to get Hurtigruten.
Don't get the fucking Hurtigruten. You'll never stop itching. And it went up the fjords. And
spreads like a plague.
It's a nightmare. Fucking Hurtigruten ships all over this, lad. It's a ship that goes up, and the idea is you go all the way up to the Arctic Circle and you can see the Northern Lights on a good night.
Whoa.
So Mrs. F has always wanted to see the Northern Lights for some reason. This is like a thing for her. And we went on the ship and it was overcast every day and we didn't get to see the Northern Lights. We also got off at like halfway up Norway because we didn't have time to do the full cruise. But it was really nice. And you get off in all these little fishing towns in Norway and it's great. And it was a really nice crew, nice ship, and it was completely chill. And it didn't feel anything like this kind of manufactured factory kind of money-making enterprise that...
Yeah, it's more of like an experience sort of thing.
But
like
this one, it was nice. And, the passengers, there wasn't so many of them that you felt like you were overwhelmed with the number of people. Because when we first got there, we just could not believe how many people we were on the ship with. Like, it actually felt claustrophobic. And everything was just kind of, it was so weird. Like, when you're standing on the corridor at one end looking down... The full length of all the staterooms on that deck is just kind of overwhelming how many people there are. And you realize just deck after deck after deck of people. Everything you do is packed with people. The restaurant is just jammed. It's crazy. So after a while, it gets too much. But the Hurtigruten line was nice. That I would do a smaller cruise, or there's one into Alaska that's meant to be beautiful. But the one around the Caribbean, it just felt kind of corny, honestly.
Yeah. My kids want to do the Disney cruise as well.
No way, man.
I haven't heard anything about.
Don't do it, my friend.
Have you done it?
No, but I've read all about it. Do not fucking do it. I think it would be hell on earth.
Yeah, I mean, my kids are like pretty fucking excited
I don't think I'm going to do it, but...
Do it for the story. I'd love to hear how terrible it was, but oh my God. Can you imagine just hearing It's a Small World piped out of every fucking speaker?
Oh my God, every time you leave your room.
There's a fucking Mickey there.
Fuck off!
Not now, Mickey, for Christ's sake!
Fucking pissed.
You're like fucking strangling Mickey.
You're just like choking Pluto in a corner and crying.
Oh
like,
my God.
Fucking get me off of this thing!
I couldn't bear it.
Yeah, no.
Jesus.
So those are the two that I would consider doing. One of them because my kids want to do it so bad, and the other one because I think that fjords and glaciers would be kind of cool to see.
They are beautiful. Honestly, the fjords
are
beautiful.
So how have they been sold? How have your kids, your five-year-old and three-year-old child been sold so hard on the Disney Cruise Line?
That's not that they've been sold hard on it. We saw a commercial for it when we were, because we went to Disney this summer. This is what I did in August.
How was it?
We went on a week vacation to Disney. Yeah, it was all right. It was Disney. It's definitely something that I've been to it as an adult, you know, like through like trips out to LA with the Maker and stuff like that. And I hate it. I hate going there like on my own or with friends because it's just stupid. Like when you've got kids, you might as well go there with your kids because it's actually nice to go with your kids because it's very magical for them. They love all the characters.
Right.
It's a bit of a tearjerker sometimes because, you know, they're so excited and they get to meet like characters that they love and stuff. And it's a nice experience, but going as an adult, it's fucking bullshit. I'd rather go anywhere else but to fucking Disneyland as an adult with other adults or by myself or whatever. Like, it's just...
Can you imagine taking your honeymoon in Disney World, which people do?
Yeah, no, I can't imagine doing that. I don't know why anybody would subject themselves to that. I guess if you're a big fan or whatever, cool, and you want to do that, but that's not for me. I'd rather just do something else. But I think it's a good place to take kids. But it's, again, like you were saying with the ship, it's very expensive and there's lots of hidden costs. You know, get there and you're effectively on a resort in the middle of nowhere. So you're at the mercy of their food services, which is all like repackaged McDonald's or whoever is their food sponsor sort of thing, you know? So it's like it's expensive and it's busy.
It's not really any like fun for dads.
No, yeah. God, dads, like, you see other dads and you get those knowing looks from the other dads while their kids are having a meltdown dressed up as Elsa from Frozen. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, you get that glance and you're like, yeah, I know how it goes. I'm just glad mine aren't doing that right now.
God,
you just
give him 5 minutes.
Yeah, get on the elevator and just like quickly peace out.
Once I get him into the Elsa costume, he's going to be crying his eyes out.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I noticed, I think this time, especially being at Disney, I noticed how sort of maybe offensive Disney can be without maybe intentionally doing it. Like there's a lot of things where they're like, every girl is a princess. And you're like, okay, cool. But what if my son wants to dress up as a princess? Because sometimes boys will like to sort of thing. And there's a lot of like weird messages like in their live shows and stuff like that. And I don't know if some of it is just them being, you know, like old-fashioned or not being like aware of like any of this stuff, or if they're going out of their way to like, you know what I mean? Like you always get
be very
sense.
Conservative.
It's, I don't know. They're a big company with a lot of people that, you know, probably think about this stuff or it's been mentioned. And I don't know.
If you had the average American family or indeed most families, I think, around the world and said, every boy wants to be a princess, but you'd have a lot of complaints.
You would, I
think
guess
so. You'd get a lot of people saying, what are you trying to corrupt my boy? You know, yeah, no, I get that.
There's a thing in the news a couple of years ago about this. So this child went with his parents to Disney. He was like 3 years old, okay? And for whatever reason, he just really liked Elsa. He liked he liked Frozen. He liked Elsa. And he had an Elsa dress, and he dressed up as Elsa. He's like a three-year-old boy. He didn't know, like, you know, he doesn't have like any social conditioning at that point or whatever. He just liked it, and he did it, right?
Yeah, let's just assume that this is the case, right? And there's no other factors involved, because there's a huge amount of factors that could be involved. It might be abusive parents who want a girl, okay, and therefore, but let's just assume that he wants.
But
it himself.
Okay, let's just assume that this is just a normal 3-year-old kid who just happened to really like Frozen and had an Elsa dress, but he was a boy. Okay,
yeah.
So he goes to Disneyland with his parents. And his parents know that he really likes Frozen. He's wearing his dress and everything. He's all ready to go. And they go to the Princess Pavilion on Elsa Day so that he can meet Elsa. He probably doesn't know what the fuck is going on because he's like 3 years old or whatever. But they like turned him away, or they wouldn't take his picture, or they wouldn't let him get his picture taken because he was a boy wearing a dress. wanting to meet Elsa or whatever, and that didn't fit with the traditional demographic for that ride and what they were doing and stuff. There was some sort of altercation. I don't know if it was like big deal or whatever.
Disneyland apologizes for banning Boy from Princess Experience.
Yeah, that's the one. Yes, and just like a lot of the, like, I don't know, maybe because I'd heard that story and then I'd been to Disneyland after and experienced it or whatever. But there's just a lot of things where you just think like, there's just a lot of lines that come out of like the live shows and stuff. There's like, every girl can be a princess if you just dream hard enough and stuff. And you just think, okay, well, I know, but you did ban a little boy from seeing a princess as well. Just like, not the best. I don't know. It's just like, I don't lean crazily that way, but I did notice it, and I don't know if that's because I spend a lot of time on the internet or if it's because I want to actually fight for the rights of a 3-year-old who doesn't know any fucking better, who's just doing things that a 3-year-old wants to do. I think they should have just let
kids be kids. That should be the message for Disney. Let the kids be kids, for Christ's sake.
Every girl could be a princess if they're the right age and
and they pay $29.99 and they book ahead of time.
No, and they're willing to be in a successful TV show and marry a balding guy from England, Joey, or like, you know, there's very specific list of requirements. You know, if they want to learn Norwegian and marry, you know, or whatever. Do you
have
know what
the
mean?
Right family and all. Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
God. Yeah. So it was a good trip. The kids loved it, and we loved taking the kids, and it was nice. But like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like an old grumpy adult or whatever. But like, I don't find Disney that magical.
No,
and actually, this time I noticed some cracks in the magic.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, well.
It was good, though. They do a good job.
I went to Vancouver, Sips.
Oh, yeah, Vancouver. How was that?
It was great.
Did you like Vancouver? Vancouver's a really nice city, actually.
Loved it. Yeah. I would definitely go back to Vancouver. I wanted to see more of it. But because we were working the whole time, I didn't get a huge amount of time to go out and see the city.
Sure.
But honestly, it's really, really cool. What surprised me, I didn't know this, Vancouver, the population is like half Asian people. Like literally half. So there's a huge number of Chinese people there, Korean people there.
Yeah,
I think Japanese people there.
Some of the traffic signs and stuff are like in Mandarin and stuff,
yeah, you do
right?
see stuff in Mandarin, yeah. Like yeah. It's, and so many Chinese restaurants, like really good ones. And Japanese restaurants and Korean restaurants, it's amazing. And the architecture is actually reminded me of Shanghai, the apartment buildings that they built, because there's a lot of Chinese money in Vancouver. Now, I heard a few theories about why this is. One of them is it's close to China, right? So when you leave China,
it's Pacific Coast. That's why I always figured, you know, it's just the closest place for Asian people to, if they want to move to North America. You'd imagine that there'd be tons of them in like place like Seattle, San Francisco, and stuff.
Right, but there
as well.
Aren't. Like in Seattle, it doesn't have a huge Asian population. Like I've been there multiple times. I'm sure there is an Asian population in Seattle, but it's nothing like Vancouver. Like Vancouver is like 50%. So someone told me that one of the reasons is, when they were building, I don't know how true this is, someone will shoot me down on Reddit, I'm sure. When they were building the railways, they had all these Chinese workers. And
the railways
went east to west. And as they're building out to the west, all these Chinese people were just left when they finished the railways, living on the west coast. And I guess they built a line up to Seattle and Vancouver, and then they were like, we'll just fucking live here. Like, I don't know if that's true, but I thought it was interesting.
I mean, there's probably some truth in it, but I think in Canada especially, you'll notice like it's very multicultural because Canada's always had a very open policy for immigration because it's a massive country with a tiny population. So they're always looking to get more people to move to Canada because it'll grow their economy,
you got
right?
The space.
So,
you've got the space, definitely.
Yeah. So you get a lot of, like in countries where there's civil wars or there's problems or whatever, they take a lot of refugees in. They have like a pretty open policy for immigration and stuff. And therefore you find that there's just a ton of like big communities of people from other countries, like in Canada. And Vancouver is known for being quite Asian. And then you get like Vancouver Island, there's lots of Brits. There's a ton of British people on Vancouver Island. And then, like, the further east you go, the more French and stuff there are and whatever. And it's just the way that it is. It's always been like that. It's always been, like, super, super duper multicultural.
But I did something out there I'd never done before at TI, which was, you know, the late show that we did. So, like, I'd been trying to get Valve to do something like this for a long time, where they did a more relaxed sort of show, you know, with guests coming in and talking and stuff like that. But I'd always pitched to them as a stream that went on during the main event. So you'd have the main event stream and all that hype and all the rest of it, but you'd also have like a more chill stream that would be a sofa, you know, people dropping in and out, people that are coming by attending the event. Because you always get people there that aren't working the event but are known in Dota, right? Like people that you know. So you cast games with them, you talk to players and stuff like that.
It's a common thing that actually has sort of been happening alongside TI anyway. You know, like you didn't you go out to one event that was similar where you all had a house and you sort of did stuff at the
right.
that was
sort of
going
like before
on
before TI.
At the same time.
So that was like the hub.
Yeah.
They used to do a hub. Now Beyond the Summit does the hub. Because Valve doesn't invest in events anymore, like other than TI.
No.
So they're all handled by production companies.
Independent.
So Beyond the Summit does a TI hub. I think Moonduck might do one as well. A couple of other people do one. But basically, we wanted that kind of feeling, but at the main event. And they were always like, we don't want to have a second stream. Like, we don't want to take viewers from the main stream, put them on a second stream. We would want it to have that same production level.
I can see their reasons why.
Yeah, of course. And also, they wouldn't want it to look shit. They'd want it to look really good. So they would have to have extra people assigned to this, and they just didn't want to do it. So a few people pitched this idea for either an early show or a late show that goes on after the main event. And luckily they chose me to do it with DJ Wheat. And it was fucking great. Like, it was literally
DJ Wheat.
It was literally working in a bar every night after the show. So we watch all the games, we plan the show out, we arrange the guests, we write some questions and come up with some games. And then we go to the pub and we just sit there drinking and talking bollocks for like an hour. It was like a podcast in a pub, basically, that had guests and was kind of vaguely TI related. And that was cool. That I knew I was going to be doing that. I was like,
DJ
great.
Wheat is a gem.
He was great.
Yeah, he's
way.
A super
he was
nice
such
guy.
A nice guy. Like, I'd met him once before at a Dota event in New York, which was ESL 1 New York, like 3-4 years ago. And that was good, but I never got to hang out with him. I was working with him every day, like in Vancouver. He is the nicest dude. Such a nice guy. Very funny. Great to work with. Super professional dude. Just super experienced and completely calm and confident. Everything I'm not. So it was perfect to have him as the sort of anchor. Then they told us when we got there, by the way, you guys are also doing this live stage show on the final night. And they took us to this theater. And it was like a 2,500 person capacity theater. Like, it was like Benaroya Hall from TI3.
Wow.
It was this huge theater. And it was beautiful. And this huge stage, proper red curtains and all the rest of it. And they're like, so plan that. And it's going to be like the Tonight Show. And I was like, oh my God. I've never done anything like that in my life. Like live stage stuff? Never. So I was shitting myself for like 2 weeks. Very stressed.
I would be.
Yeah, we're planning this event. It was terrifying. Like when we do the Yogg's live stuff at Comic-Con
like
and stuff. It's hilarious, right? And I just have to sit there. It's all been planned ahead of time. Perfect. I just sit there, have a drink, and we play some games or whatever, and it was funny. But this was like, we had to plan the show, write the show, sort the guests, plan everything, like come up with a run of show, talk to the production team and everything. It was nuts. So we did that for like 2 weeks. Hotbit actually did a lot of that work as well. And then we're standing there, we watch the crowd after the game fill up in like 10 minutes. The whole place was like, bam. And they were running to get to the front, and we're going to have the winning team on stage to interview them as well as some guests and stuff. And they've got this beautiful set with like a proper backdrop. The intro is like shots of Vancouver. Oh, now live the late game, you know. I was like, oh my God. We're literally doing the fucking Tonight Show. And then the curtains open and we're just on stage and everybody was fucking screaming. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified, but it was also kind of fun. Like, the weird thing is, when you get a laugh or a cheer from a live crowd, it's like this instant confirmation that what you did was the right thing. And normally all the stuff we do, you make it and then you hope it gets some good views and maybe a thread on Reddit, but you don't really know.
We don't know when the laughs are coming sometimes.
Yeah, you have
so
no idea.
It can sometimes just throw you out.
Yeah,
you know, because you're doing this thing and they're all laughing away and you're like, I'm trying to
You look down and you realize that they weren't laughing at your jokes. Your dick is just hanging out
exactly.
of your pants. Yeah.
But the opposite happens as well, though, right? Like, you'll do say something that you've planned that you think is going to be really funny, and no one will laugh, and you'll be like, oh, I guess we're carrying on here.
Exactly.
You just have to, like...
The payoff is, when you fuck up, you know you fucked up right then and there, and you've got to keep going. So it was scary.
But it's why comedians practice their stuff in small events often regularly, so they understand that pace and they get the energy and stuff. Like when we do these live shows, sometimes, of course, it's just very off the cuff, you know. It's all very improv. It's a real, sometimes really awkward situation you end up in where people don't laugh at the right times or do laugh when you don't expect it. It's really weird, but great, like, to have that suddenly feedback.
It was weird,
you know?
Yeah. It was really strange. And you also realize that, like, you feel everybody watching you in a way that I'm not used to. Like, when it's just a camera, like when I'm streaming or something like that, or like when we're doing the poker, it's just me and Tom in a room. Like, yes, there are people watching, but they're not immediately there. So you're just goofing around and that's it. But yeah, like you said, when you say something and either people don't laugh, you think, fuck. And when they do, you think, wow. Like, I could see how people get addicted to that. It was,
But also it's kind of off-putting in a sense. Like, it sometimes does cloud your head and you start like, it's like you can see how people freeze up in these situations.
Like, literally,
it's a real different experience.
It's my greatest fear, speaking in front of a group of people. Any small group of people, my greatest fear used to be, even in front of three or four people, if I had to stand up and talk, I would start sweating and I'd start stammering and I would forget
everything.
Well,
even if we're like an office thing and there's like 10 of us in a room or even 5 of us in a room and someone says, Lewis, what do you think? And I'm like, oh, more. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, it's like real strange that affects you so heavily when, you know, like millions of people are watching through that camera.
Yeah, it's weird.
But you're worried about the 15 people in front of you.
I always take Fraser's advice in
that
situation, which is to imagine your entire audience naked and wearing black socks. And that and that makes you feel like more superior than them.
That would not work for me. That would feel even weirder.
I just get a boner and just start super seducing it up. Just like
it was weird. But also you suddenly realize that if something funny happens, you have to pause. So like the conversation flow is kind of disrupted by you have to wait for the audience reaction before you keep going. So it changes your whole flow. It was very strange. And I kind of dried up thinking of things to say because I was just thinking, holy shit, look at all these people. Like, that was the first thing I was thinking.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. But luckily, DJ Wheat was there. And he just fucking, no problem. Like, he's done this stuff loads of times.
Exactly. And honestly, like, I think he was the Valve is great at this, right? They're very, very good at taking, like, a good idea and turning it into something that works, right? Like, you know, they obviously thought, okay, having some sort of parallel show would work. Like, how are we going to do it? But let's make it this thing that's good, and we need this guy that we know is going to be able to do it. You know, DJ Wheat, he's a legend, really. He's obviously, I think he's director at Twitch, doing some head of something, something important.
So,
he's a little bit like Terps in a sense that he's kind of he has an actual day job where he actually does to do really important responsible stuff.
Yeah, but he can
and
do
then
these
he comes and just does
and
this
stuff.
Thing because he loves being out there.
I think
as a personality.
Well, and he's good at it too. He's really good at it.
Yeah, really good at it.
I think he makes he's the head of their content production. I think I could have his title wrong, but it's something like that. But yeah, he knows Twitch. He knows everybody at Twitch and talking about the business and everything. It's crazy. I mean,
really
it's
interesting.
So big.
It's like it's definitely the same thing for Terps. So Terps went out to Gamescom and was working for Blizzard as their sort of host. He's done it for 3 years now. And so he has to get there at like, you know, 9 in the morning and be there all day. And he had to be there a couple of days early to do the rehearsals. And he did sort of 6 days of getting up on stage and chatting up exciting stuff and ad-libbing and presenting stuff. And, you know, like, I don't know, for example, there was this one time, I think, where Hearthstone, the internet was down or something. So Terps got his phone out and, you know, played a game on his phone against this guy on stage. You know, you have to kind of be just... It's intense.
That's his exact fucking role.
But Terps does it because
Terps
he loves it. And he loves
that,
Blizzard.
Right? It's like his favorite.
But he's
thing.
Always been much more of an extroverted character, like as opposed to almost everyone else in
in the office.
Yeah, that's why you got to find more paperwork for. We got to keep him down. We don't want him to steal the show. We got to bog him down in TPS reports.
Yeah, that's
got to find a whole bunch of shit that he has to like rubber stamp.
Can have that by the end of the day. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Oh man, I remember that. Well, fucking hell. So we haven't heard really what Sips has been doing for so long.
I was at Disney, and then I had a whole bunch of other trips. I went to Munich for a Smelly Boys weekend, which is nice.
It's great.
I loved it. I'm going back again in like 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks.
Okay, why?
For Oktoberfest, baby.
Oh. What do you mean, Smelly Boys Week? Have you got all these new football friends?
Old friends. Old Canada friends who happen to be in and around Europe. Join my fantasy football team on Facebook,
Chris.
The jealousy. Lewis, just be happy for another person that you know to have God, the man. Smelly friends. What's wrong?
I got some smelly alcoholic friends that I like to meet up with every once in a while. So yeah,
is this all just dads escaping off, like Jersey dads?
Some of them are dads. So there's a group of guys. One of the guys was my neighbor when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and we've been friends ever since. And he has a large group of friends who I all know, who are all in various stages of marriage with children and stuff like that. And a bunch of them are turning 40, so they're going to Oktoberfest. There's like 10 of them going. And so I'm going, and I'm going to stay with them. And then my other friend that I went to high school with, who lives in Italy, is going to meet us there as well. And I was also in a band with him. Called the Dope Joes. Yeah, we were called the Dope Joes. We played shows and stuff
what
in Ottawa
play?
When I was like 20. Bass
guitar.
You can
play the bass guitar?
I used to be able
How
to.
How are we only hearing this now?
So anyway, so he's meeting me there as well, and he's staying with, because he's been to Oktoberfest. I think this is like his 10th year on the trot. And he has like Oktoberfest friends who live in Germany, who have like an apartment in Munich. So he can stay with them. And then I'm going to stay with these other guys.
I feel like I've been duped. I thought you were just one of us. I didn't realize you had sweaty friends. And
I got some sweaty friends. Yeah, I got some
cool.
sweaty ass friends. Yeah.
I thought you were like just one of us nerds who was a basement dwelling golem.
I am, needing old Richard Arena to help us try and pick up a chick. I used to not want to go. I didn't want to go downtown and go drinking because I wanted to stay home and play Pharaoh by Impression Studios. I used to do that as well. So I am a nerd too, but.
You don't need to qualify that. We know.
I just have
so
some
what
friends.
What do you do in Munich? What's this holiday idea? You just go there and drink? And just be hungover?
Yeah, last time I went, we just went and drank for a couple of days. Because they have these, it was summer. They have these like really nice outdoor beer gardens with like.
So you just walk from bar to
like,
bar.
Like Lederhosen wearing Oompa bands and stuff, which is really good. We went to like, there's this big like public river that runs right through Munich.
It's like
and goes through a park.
Charlie the fucking Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, everybody likes to go swimming there. This park was fucking packed, okay? There was like 5,000 people there. I'm not even joking. It was nuts. And they were all like in bikinis and their swim shorts.
You know what I want to see?
Swimming and playing volleyball. And they would like cool their beers. They had like these milk crates that they would attach to like a log on the side of the bank. And they'd let it float in the river to keep their beers cold and stuff. It was awesome. It was so
it's
much fun.
It's fucking confidence, right? Yeah. He's confidence tricked his way into this group of friends, PFLAX. I don't believe it. He played the original Super Seducer, and he seduced himself.
Yeah. No.
A load of friends.
I watched the World Cup and made
They're
a whole
not
bunch
real,
of
Zips. That's not the real you. They'll
friends.
Find out. You're not cool. You're one of us.
Oh, we're, losing so, we're losing him. We're losing him. Our baby boy.
So yeah. So I'm going to Oktoberfest for like 3 or 4 days. I think three or four days. So that'll be fun. It'll
All right.
Be good.
One question. Are you going to miss a Triforce podcast while you're away?
No, I should be back in time. I think I get back on Wednesday. So
okay.
I should be. Well,
the audience won't be too unhappy. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That is a good time to end. Holy shit.
Fuck.
Let's see you next week.
I feel bad now. Do you want me to not go and just stay home? Or fuck.
No, I
want you to be
fly free. Fly free.
If you love them, let them go.
Poor Lewis. Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
All right, everyone. We're done. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all next week with some more of this.
See you next time.
Until then.
Peace.
Goodbye.
Bye.